guards, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended.
Here comes the money. Here we go. Money talks. Here comes the money.
The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
Welcome in. It is Weekend Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks with you. We're with you for an hour, so special edition, 7 to 8 p.m. Weekend Wager brought to you by BetMGM Sports. That's right. Enough talk. Believe in your bet. Believe in your game. Believe in BetMGM. All right. We are going to start the show off immediately taking you to Cleveland. Why? One of the biggest games this week is the Giants taking on the Cleveland Browns on Monday night. And so who else would I rather have on than Nathan Zagura? He's fantastic. I've known him for years. He's part of the Cleveland Browns broadcast team. He's got his finger on the pulse of this team better than anyone. So, Nathan, first and foremost, I mean, listen, Baker Mayfield, even though the Browns lost to the Baltimore Ravens, and I think one of the best, if not best game of the season this season, but even though they lost, a lot to feel good about in regard to just how great Baker Mayfield and this offense is playing. You know, Stefanski comes in, new head coach, pandemic year, learning everything in regard to OTAs. And granted, this is a Cleveland Browns team that has gotten better as the season progressed, but they're sitting at 9-4. I guess my first question to you is, what has been the biggest difference?
Well, I think the biggest difference at the top, and it's always great to be with you, Anita, is that, you know, Kevin Stefanski and what he's brought to this football team, the consistency that he's brought, the work ethic that he's brought, the attention to detail that he's brought. I remember, you know, we've talked in the past, and I said he's got the three P's. That's what I call them. He is prepared, he's got a plan and a process to implement that plan. And this Browns team, you know, it's been a long time since you've been able to say it, but they're going to be as well coached, if not better coached, than their opponent every single week. And I give Kevin Stefanski a ton of credit for that. I actually talked with our wide receiver coach and pass game coordinator, Chad O'Shea. And Chad O'Shea spent the bulk of his career with New England, and he was effusive in his praise of Kevin Stefanski and what he's brought here. And I don't think there's anybody who knows what it's like to be around great head coaching in the NFL like Chad O'Shea with his time with Bill Belichick. So I think that's big-time praise. And you look at this offense, you know, we have an identity. We have two of the most talented running backs in the entire NFL in the same backfield. Nick Chubb, still amongst the league leaders in rushing despite missing four games, leads the league 5.9 yards per carry. He's rushed for nearly 900 yards and 9 touchdowns. You got Kareem Hunt, who's, I think, flying under the radar. The guy's got over 1,000 total yards and 10 touchdowns, and nobody's talking about him. And then you mentioned Baker Mayfield. You know, prior to that game against Baltimore, Baker had the longest interception-free streak in the NFL. He's playing tremendous football. He's playing his best football. You look since week 7 in terms of around the league and the major categories, completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown to interception ratio, quarterback rating. Baker Mayfield is a top 5 quarterback in all of those metrics over basically the second half of the season. So he is playing his best football. He's understanding the offense. They're understanding him. And you look at this and you say to yourself, this is a team, especially on offense, that I believe is peaking very much at the right time. You know, Baker, back-to-back games with 300 yards passing. He's got 8 touchdowns passing, 1 rushing, and only 1 interception in his last 3 games alone, averaging over 300 yards passing per game during that span. And so this is a good offense. You mentioned it. The last 3 weeks when the Browns got out of those crazy weather games in Cleveland, the last 3 weeks, the Browns are averaging 36.7 points per game. That's second in the NFL. And 470 yards of offense per game, second in the NFL to only the Kansas City Chiefs. So this is a very good, very complete offense that runs a great scheme. It is well coached, and they're playing to their players' strengths and attacking the weaknesses of their opponents week in and week out.
You know, Nathan, a big deal. I know we like to talk about the skilled position players because they're so sexy, right? Both running backs, Jarvis Landry, when he's not getting spit on. We'll dive into that in a second. Baker Mayfield. But really, it's the hog mollies, as Dave Gettleman here in New York likes to call them. I mean, listen, this is an organization, and I commend them. They committed to the offensive line and free agency and whatnot in the draft. But there are some injuries from what I understand heading into this game. Wyatt Teller being one of them. I'm a huge Wyatt Teller fan. He has got a calf injury. I saw that prior to you coming on that he was listed as not going to go this week. How on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most concerned, how concerned are you that Baker's going to be behind an injured offensive line, not all the starters, against that Giants defense that really has been the straw that has stirred this drink of the Giants coming on strong this part of the season?
Yeah, there's no doubt the Giants' defensive front is excellent, and you look at those three guys in the middle, especially led by Leonard Williams, Dalvin Tomlinson, they have been very, very good. So that's something that you are a little bit concerned about. But look, this offensive line of the Browns, they have the highest graded left guard in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, the highest graded right tackle, and Wyatt Teller is the highest graded offensive lineman, period, in the league. He'll be out, but J.C. Treader is one of the best centers in the game. Jedrick Wills has been phenomenal. The rookie, one of the best pass-blocking left tackles in the game. And you bring in Chris Hubbard. He's a veteran. He has started multiple games in this league. He started at right guard for the Browns. He started at right tackle for the Browns this year. He even went in for a series and played left tackle last week. So you have, it's not like you're putting in a total unknown. This offense is still functioning at a very high level with Chris Hubbard in there. So I still feel very good about the Browns' offensive line. It's absolutely a strength. Teller has missed games before, and the offense has kept chugging along. They are the second-best pass-blocking line in the league, according to Pro Football Focus, and we know what they do as a run-blocking line. So I do think the Browns still have the advantage in the trenches, despite how good this Giants team has been up front. And Leonard Williams, obviously, you know, the 8.5 sacks, the 12 tackles for loss has been spectacular. But he's, you know, he lines up typically against, you know, center, left guard, left tackle, and that's where the Browns will have their best players in Treader and in Betonio and in Jedrick Wills.
I love it. You are breaking down this matchup like no other, Nathan Zagura. Let's talk about what's going on here in New York City, right? A lot is going on. Jason Garrett got the Rona, unfortunately. Our prayers go out to him. Yeah. Hopefully he is okay right now. And what a interesting turn of affairs that Freddie Kitchens, who you and the Browns are extremely familiar with, will be calling the plays this week against the Browns. And my gut, even though nothing has been announced yet, my gut is telling me that the Giants are going to go with Colt McCoy over Daniel Jones. It's evident. You know, Daniel Jones, he's just, not only is it a hamstring, but now it's an ankle on the opposite leg. He was a shell of himself. Dude runs 22 miles an hour. He was sacked 6 times with 0 rushing yards. You're just offensively, you're not going to win like that. So I think it's really interesting. The Giants come into this game with Freddie Kitchens calling the plays. Colt McCoy is the quarterback. And, oh, by the way, no James Bradbury, who obviously is one of the best shutdown corners. So they're dealing with a lot. You know, what has been the scuttlebutt? What has been the talk in regard to, you know, what this Cleveland Browns team is anticipating to face against the Giants this week?
Well, yeah, they know, you know, you talked about at the beginning, they know this is a very good defense. They know that this is an offense that it's been at its best when Wayne Gallman's been running effectively in their four-game winning streak. You know, he averaged 87.5 yards per game, 5 yards a carry, and scored a touchdown, averaged 1 touchdown per game. So they know they need to stop him, and they want to get after the quarterback, whether that be Colt McCoy, whether that be Daniel Jones. And, you know, you look last week, Arizona, 8 sacks, as you talked about. Hassan Reddick had 5. Well, here comes Myles Garrett to town, and Myles Garrett, 10.5 sacks on the season, despite missing a couple of games. He's one of the best pass rushers in the league. And then Olivier Vernon, the former Giant, who I think this game might mean a little extra to, he has 7 sacks in his last 6 games. So I think the Browns are going to look to kind of stop the run, put the Giants in obvious passing situations, and get after that offensive line that has struggled and get after the quarterback. As for Freddie Kitchens calling the plays, I love Freddie. I really liked him as a guy. Obviously, it did not work out for him as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. But, you know, I got to do the Freddie Kitchens show with him, and I have nothing but good things to say about him as a human being. And certainly in his time as just the play caller for the Cleveland Browns, he was incredibly successful. So I think the guys here have a lot of respect for him. They understand what he is capable of as an innovative kind of play caller. This late in the season, you know he's not going to get to run necessarily his offense, but I would imagine with Jason Garrett would have been very collaborative in developing game plans with Freddie all year long because he is such a good offensive mind. So I think that'll be fun for him. I think for the Browns, you know what, and it goes back to the top. What's the difference with Kevin Stefanski here? I don't think it's a story, honestly, inside of the Browns building. They're focused on going 1-0 this week. That's the mantra. I think in the past this could have been a massive story that would have gotten a lot of bulletin board material and talk generated as a result of it. But honestly, I don't think it's that big of a story. But there are so many familiar faces. Talk about, you know, Freddie Kitchens, Colt McCoy, Jabril Peppers, Kevin Zeitler, Jabal Sheard, guys who, you know, spent significant time with the Browns. And then on the other side, you know, B.J. Goodson, our middle linebacker, drafted by the Giants, and then Olivier Vernon. And, you know, Baker alluded earlier this week, you know, we want to win this for Odell. We know how much this one would have meant for Odell, and he can't be out there. So It's an important game. The Browns have to have it. I think they are the better football team. I think their advantage in the trenches is significant on both sides of the ball. And while the Giants are losing their top corner in Bradbury for the week, you know, the Browns get theirs back. Denzel Ward is expected to play, which is huge for a Browns defense that's been a little bit under siege.
Nathan Zagura again joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Really quick, a few quick questions in regard to and topics I want to hit on before I let you go, more of a broader scope. And you mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. Just out of curiosity, I mean, there's talk and speculation that when the season's over, the Browns are looking to trade him. Obviously, we know that would be his third team. What's your gut telling you, Nathan? Do you think he's long term? Do you think he gets traded? What do you think the future holds for? Obviously, a lot of listeners here in New York are, you know, they're always inquisitive about Odell Beckham Jr. Of course.
Sure, of course, and I understand that. I think that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and Paul DePodesta will all end up doing ultimately what they think is the best for the Browns. And based on everything I know and have heard, they think the best for the Browns is to have a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. playing and playing well for our organization. So I think the expectation at this point would be certainly that you want him to be in the organization. I'll tell you, I really like him. I've gotten to be around him, interview him. I see the way he works. I know how much his teammates like him. And I think it's really unfortunate what happened to Odell this year, because all he wants to do is win, and the Browns are winning, and I know how much he would want to be a part of that right now. So I love Odell. I understand that he is the guy that always, you know, he's going to be in the media spotlight. He generates all that attention. But what I know of Odell Beckham Jr. is that he's a very thoughtful, a very soulful guy, beloved by his teammates, and has one of the best work ethics in the league. And so it's unfortunate that he's not going to be able to play in this one. I know it would have meant a lot to him. And, you know, I think everybody hopes that he's a part of the Browns' long-term future and a lot of success here in Cleveland.
Oh, there's no doubt this game would have been huge for him. That's for sure. Last thing for you, big picture here in regard to the division. I'm addicted to that ESPN playoff machine. Yep. I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just having fun with it. I've got Cleveland, as we know, Cleveland right now is 9-4. Pittsburgh's 11-2. Let's just hypothetically speaking, Cleveland goes 3-0, and let's say Pittsburgh goes 1-2. Let's say they beat Cincinnati this week, but they lose to the Colts, and then they lose to Cleveland the last week of the season. They're tied. The ESPN NFL machine has then the Steelers as the fourth seed and Cleveland as the fifth seed, and they would face each other in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That would be awesome. I would love that scenario. I mean, the Browns still have an outside chance to win the division if the Steelers were to lose all three and the Browns win all three of theirs. I don't see the Steelers losing to the Bengals. So I think in terms of scenarios that would be the best, I would love to see that. I know the Browns players would love to see that. They still have a bad taste in their mouth from what happened earlier in the season in Pittsburgh that they would like to erase. But the Browns have to handle their business. And you know, I guarantee their focus is solely on the Giants Sunday Night Football. But, man, if you could get a playoff game in Pittsburgh with this team, I think it would be – so I get, like, goosebumps even thinking about it. You know, my 8 years with the organization, I have never gotten an opportunity to be a part of something that would be as meaningful, as big, as hyped, as physical, as, you know, emotional as a Browns Steelers playoff game in Pittsburgh would be. I would absolutely love to see that scenario that you have laid out unfold. It would be tremendous.
It will be interesting to see how this all plays out. Nathan, again, I so appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the game. It should be a good one. It will be interesting, of course. and again, we thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, and go Browns. Should be a fun one on Sunday night, kind of a matchup right now of a red-hot offense and a red-hot defense, and we'll see which side comes out on top.
Nathan, awesome. Awesome, my friend. Enjoy your weekend. If I don't talk to you, happy holidays to you and your family. Okay. Okay.
You
bye-bye.
Same to you, Nita. Okay. Take care. Bye.
Oh, my gosh. Such great insight from Nathan Zagura. I tell you that. All right. Let's take a look at the lines here, right? Okay. So this game opened up and Cleveland was favored by 5. And then word got out that Jason Garrett had contracted COVID-19. I looked. The line was still at 5 under. Cleveland was still favored by 5. Then word got out that James Bradbury got COVID-19, and that line immediately dropped to 6. So Cleveland was favored by 6, and now with speculation that Daniel Jones isn't going to play again, as we know, he's dealing with a hamstring issue, and then now on the opposite leg he's dealing with an ankle issue. That line now is at 6.5. I think in for a number of reasons that we just discussed with that I just discussed with Nathan Zagura, you know, I want to believe in this Giants team, right? Like, it's just, it's such a feel-good story, is it not? Joe Judge comes in, new head coach. What are the expectations here? Think about it. Go back to when the season began. Everybody, the Dallas Cowboys are going to win the division. I actually thought the Philadelphia Eagles were going to win, and I still actually think the Eagles are going to win the division. We'll get into that a little bit later on the show. But nonetheless, it's been a roller coaster ride, right? Team doesn't start out great, and then all of a sudden, boy, this defense, they come together. They're playing hard for Joe Judge. Things are rolling. Daniel Jones isn't turning the ball over, and then, boom, hamstring injury. Let's be honest. Daniel Jones should not have started last week. Should not. I'm really surprised, to be quite frank, that he did start, because the Giants have one of the most conservative medical staffs in all of the NFL. I'll use the word shocked. I'm pretty shocked that the Giants medical staff allowed Daniel Jones to play on that hamstring. But nonetheless, as I stated with Nathan Zagura, dude runs 22 miles an hour. He's 6 sacks, 0 rushing yards. Has Jones ever had a game where he had 0 rushing yards? No. So anyway, with that being said, now you've got Freddie Kitchens who's calling the plays, and not a knock on Freddie Kitchens. It's evident Nathan Zagura loves him, but you know, obviously it's somewhat of a step back, you know, and on top of that, where I'm going with this is I don't anticipate Daniel Jones to start. And if he does, I don't think it'll be the wise decision. I think this is a game where it's evident that I think Colt McCoy needs to start. But with that being said, you know, an offensive coordinator and a quarterback, they kind of get into this ebb and flow, this relationship. Like they do, it's like this dance, right? It's like eventually they develop this where like they each know what each other are thinking. They each start to anticipate what play is going to come in. Of course, after your first, whatever, 15, 16, 20 scripted plays, right? Like there's this rhythm and this dance and this flow that's developed. So, you know, you got to assume that is not going to exist with Freddie Kitchens as well as Colt McCoy, first and foremost. So, and also, by the way, I'm hearing that Evan Engram is dealing with, I don't know if it's a knee or an ankle or something. Evan Engram popped up on the injury report list today. So there's a chance he might not play. So offensively, obviously, you take some hits there. On the defensive side of the ball, not having Bradberry is, in my opinion, is huge. One of the best shutdown corners. And not that he was going to, like, quote-unquote shadow Jarvis Landry. But, you know, the 1-2 punch with that defensive line playing as aggressive as they have been, Blake Martinez in the middle of the field and then Bradberry in the back, that's really been the key. And without him, you know, obviously this defense takes a hit. And to go up against that Cleveland Browns offense that really put on a show against the Baltimore Ravens, really, really, like I said, probably one of the best games this season I watched. Anyway, where I'm going with this, what side am I on? I'm on Cleveland. I loved Cleveland at -5. I liked Cleveland at -6. I'll still put money on them at -6.5. That's where I'm drawing the line. I won't, no pun intended, I would not play this if this line went up to 7.5. And it very well might at kickoff. So if you're willing to take off your Giants hat, and you're going to bet with your mind and not your heart, I think Cleveland -6.5 is the play here. The over under is at 44. With a healthy defense, I would play the under here. I'm just staying away from this. Bradberry not being on the field, how does that affect this team? I think it affects them a lot. Baker Mayfield over under 1.5 touchdown passes. I'm going over there. Over under 225.5 passing yards. I'm staying away from it. Jarvis Landry over under 54.5 receiving yards with no Bradberry. I'm going over there. You've got Nick Chubb with 74.5 rushing yards. You've got Kareem Hunt with a combination of receiving and rushing yards at 64.5. We know how good this Giants defense has been, especially against the run. So those are some prop bets that I'm actually staying away from. You're listening to Week in Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports here on 98.7 ESPN.
Look, it's really been a cooperative effort throughout the season anyway with the offensive staff along with the defensive staff. We all work together on the same page. You know, we've built in opportunities through training camp and practice periods this season where different coaches have had to call plays just for this exact situation. So this is something we've been preparing for, as I explained to the players again this morning. Listen, starting in the spring when we start out on Zoom, this is nothing new to us, and it's not unique. You know, missing a day of practice, this is not something unique in the league this year. It's something, as business is being done, you just have to be able to make sure you don't lock your knees and keep on moving forward. You know, our guys have done very well through virtual learning. Jason was still very involved this morning in the Zoom meetings with the team, just as he would have been if he was in the building. You know, we've stayed everybody connected in terms of calling the plays. Freddie's more than capable. Again, I've been on staffs where he's called the plays. I've been on staffs where he's called the plays against us. And I can tell you from experience, going into playing Cleveland last year, one thing you had to tell the players repeatedly throughout the week was how explosive that team could be, how schematically sound they were, and they were going to look to find mismatches on you. So, you know, look, I have all the confidence in the world in Freddie, along with all of our coaches on the staff.
That is Joe Judge. Anita Marks with you, listening to Week in Wager, a little condensed version of Week in Wager here on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Joe Judge feeling really, really confident in regards to the state of affairs with the Giants. Again, as we were just talking to Nathan Zagura, great interview, great insight. Love that guy. This line, as I said earlier, opened up at 5, jumped up to 6 with the news of Jason Garrett, and then it moved up to 6.5. I'm sorry, did not move with the news of Jason Garrett. Moved to 6 with the news of Bradberry, and then now it's at 6.5. Again, as I said earlier, I would not play this line. Would I play it at 7? No, it's where I think it's where it needs to be at right now. I think it's where it needs to be at. And listen, I have the utmost respect for Joe Judge. I get what he's saying. But I find it really hard. And I don't doubt Freddie Kitchens. And we just heard from Nathan Zagura and him talking about how much he loves Freddie Kitchens. I'm not doubting Freddie Kitchens. It's the ebb and flow of how a game unfolds. And it's one thing in regard to your opening script and your first, 15, 18, 20 scripted plays. Everybody's different. So, but once you get into a rhythm, it kind of seemed right before Daniel Jones hurt his hamstring and, of course, unfortunately, Jason Garrett goes on the COVID list and gets COVID, that the offense was playing a lot better. So we'll see what happens. Listen, I've been wrong before. Giants surprised me against the Seattle Seahawks. Extremely surprised. At the end of the day, what defines this Giants team right now, not to take anything away from Daniel Jones, and that is that it's what this defense, and really what it's going to come down to is how is this defense going to attack Baker Mayfield? I've got some interesting stats for you in regard to Baker Mayfield. Dude is no bueno when it comes to being pressured. When Baker Mayfield is pressured, so heading into the game against the Baltimore Ravens, averaging 8 yards per attempt in a clean pocket. He averages 4 yards per attempt when he's pressured. Also, his QB rating on a pressure rate of over 50%, which means in 50% of the time that he drops back to pass, whether it's 3, 5, 7 step drop, whatever the case may be, 50% of the time, if he's pressured, doesn't mean he's sacked, just if he is pressured, if he is feeling the pressure, 50% of the time that he drops back to pass, his QB rating drops 80 points. 80. So it's really going to come down to this defense getting after Baker Mayfield. That's why I asked the question with Nathan Zagura. I asked him about the offensive line. I think that's really crucial going into this matchup. You know, can they get the pressure on Baker Mayfield? Can they limit the 1-2 punch that you get with Chubb and Hunt? And how will this offense respond with Freddie Kitchens calling the plays with, which again, I'm anticipating it to be Colt McCoy. Again, no word yet. Nothing has been reported. There's no report out there that Daniel Jones is not going to play. Just my gut instinct, especially after what we saw last week, which was not a lot because of the hamstring issue. And then, of course, now he's got an ankle issue. I just don't think, I'm not saying that Colt McCoy is the better quarterback, but I think that the Giants have a better chance of winning with Colt McCoy under center than Danny Dimes. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. That's how you get on board. You want to jump on. Now's the time to do so. I'm going to look at some of the futures bets out there. If you know anything about me, I spent a lot of time playing around with the ESPN NFL playoff machine. And you'd be pretty surprised who I have winning the NFC East. Also, there's some potentially interesting bets that you can make outside of the NFC East, because there's still some competition going on. Who's going to win the division? The AFC South, the NFC West. So we'll dive into those next. And then also, don't forget, we've got two football games on Saturday. So I want to dive into those as well and get you ready for your Saturday afternoon, considering my regular show on Saturday is not on this week because of all the college football that's going to be played tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be a fun day. College and pro, let's get at it. Anita Marks with you. Again, it is Week in Wager here on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports here on 98.7 ESPN.
Work with Freddie. I've worked against Freddie. He's a tremendous coach. Freddie has a great rapport with the players in the building. He really connects with people. I think Freddie is a very intelligent and very smart football coach. He does a great job of really identifying scheme. He's a tough fundamental coach as well. I think you see from his players, they improve and they really respond to him on a personal level, which carries over their performance on the field.
That is Joe Judge. Boy, is he selling us Freddie Kitchens hard. Is he not? So is Nathan Zagura, who was on with us not too long ago. Has worked for the Browns organization for quite a while. Boy, he also loves him some Odell Beckham Jr. Oh boy, that's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out this offseason. 800-919-3776. Let's go to your calls before we dive into some futures bets that I like heading into week 15. Let's go to Dave in Jersey. Dave, welcome in. Good evening.
Hey, Anita, how are you? Hope you're doing well. Love the show.
I had
a question about a pick, and I had a point about Daniel Jones.
Sure. So why don't we start? Yeah, let's start with Daniel Jones. Perfect.
I just think it's an opportunity. Like, we basically know the Redskins are most likely going to lose because Alex Smith's out, and I think we just got to go with all we got. We got to win this game, and I know even with Jones it's going to be tough, but I think if we win this game and get in the playoffs, we're going to look back on this year and like this week specifically as a turning point. If we find a way to win this game.
But Dave, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I had the Giants winning last week. They were my dog of the week. I was telling people, keep your stinking points. I don't need, listen to my dogs. My dogs are barking. They agree with me. I was telling them, keep your stinking points. I don't need your points. Giants are going to win straight up. The Giants medical staff is the most conservative medical staff in the NFL. I did not think that they would allow Daniel Jones to play at the state that he was in. Listen, this dude, zero rushing yards. Zero. He is a sitting duck back there. I'm not saying that Colt McCoy is the better quarterback here. I'm just saying you're going into a knife fight without a knife if you're Daniel Jones, right? And you play him. That's my only concern, Dave. So
no, that makes perfect sense. But and my other point, I wanted to ask you about a couple of picks for the week, if I could.
Go ahead.
I was just looking at the lines, and I was thinking about doing the Giants and the Eagles to cover and the Chiefs to win out on a parlay. What do you think about that?
So hold on, let me call. I've got a lot of screens open right now. Hold on, let me call. Okay, all right. So you like the Giants +6.5,
and the Eagles +6.5.
That's what you're saying, and you like the Eagles +6.5, and who else?
And I think the Chiefs are going to win this one.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. I'm going to dive into this the Saints Chiefs matchup. And again, same thought process here when it comes to the Giants, and the decision that the Saints have made today to go with Drew Brees. I'm not saying that Taysom Hill is a better quarterback than Drew Brees, but I think Taysom Hill provides a better opportunity for the Saints to beat Kansas City, because I don't believe that Drew Brees is going into this game 100%. You're talking about 11 cracked ribs, an issue with his lung. I'm just not buying it. Now, I understand the philosophy here, right? The Saints are like, oh, you know, we just announced it this week. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs have been practicing for Taysom Hill all week. Now they're in a conundrum. Now their backs are to the wall. What are they going to do? Well, I don't know. This whole game now is very perplexing to me. If I were you and you really like the Giants and you really like the Eagles and you really like Kansas City, what I would do is I would play a three-team tease. So what you're doing is you're getting the Eagles plus 16.5. You're getting the Giants at plus 16.5. And I do believe that even if they lose, I think they cover. And you're teasing the Saints up to plus 7. And if the Saints lose, I don't think they're losing by more than 3 points. So,
okay.
So if those are the three games you like, here's the thing, I'm with you on the Eagles. I'm not with you on the Giants. But if
you think the Giants are going to get,
I think the Giants are going to lose. I think there's just too much. It's too much, Dave. It's too much going on right now. You know, especially
I just got a feeling he's going to pull something out of the hat. Like, I think he's upset about last game, and this is going to surprise us. I really do.
You know what, Dave, and I appreciate your phone call, and I appreciate you listening on Fridays. Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you and your family, and your mouth to God's ears. your mouth to the gods, to the gambling God's ears, Dave. I hope you're right. But if those are the three matchups you like, I would play a three-team tease, adding 10 to the direction that you like. Let's go to Dre in the Bronx. Dre, you're up.
Hey, Anita, how you doing?
I'm great. Welcome in.
You was real big on Taysom Hill last night. Didn't look too good. Got outplayed by Jalen Hurts. He was trying to kill Philadelphia for playing Jalen Hurts. Now he's starting for the rest of the season. That's why they're sitting Taysom Hill this week. Did not look too good last week. Against good defense, he does not look that good. I know you're big on him, Anita.
I am big on him. I think he wins ball games. What's the record?
And not last week.
But what's him starting? What's the record?
But when he runs the ball, when he throws the ball, he's very pedestrian.
Okay, that's your opinion.
And that's why this week they're going to go with.
Listen, I just said I don't believe. I believe that Drew Brees is a better quarterback than Taysom Hill. I'm not saying that Taysom Hill is a better quarterback than Drew Brees, but I think it's the same situation that we saw last week with Daniel Jones. It's not that Colt McCoy is a better quarterback than Daniel Jones, but when you throw a quarterback out there that's not 100%, who's going to be limited in some capacity, and keep in mind, like, Drew Brees is like 5'8 on a good day. You know, he needs every length, he needs every stretch, he needs every reach of that body to get that ball over his 6'3", 6'4" offensive lineman. I just don't feel that this is the wise choice, Dre. Not because I think Taysom Hill is better than Drew Brees. I just don't think Drew Brees is ready. And also, I think that this is, if the Saints win this week, it's because they win on their defense. It's because they're giving up the least amount or second. Sorry. Saints are ranked 31st.
Taysom Hill as taking us to the next level. I don't see him as the heir apparent to Brees. I just don't see that. And I'm a Saints fan.
Okay, so what do you want to see moving forward? Like, who is your next?
I don't know. I want to see Jameis Winston.
Oh,
I hurt Brees over this week. I would rather see Jameis Winston than Taysom Hill versus Kansas City Chiefs.
But he turns the ball over, Dre. You don't win ball game. Here's the thing, Dre. I appreciate your phone call and I appreciate your honesty, and thank you so much for listening in. It's one thing to put up gaudy stats, and if you go back and you look at Jameis Winston's tenure with the Bucs in Tampa, his stats are ridiculous. Of course, you've got to add in all the interceptions, But what happens at the end of the day? Interceptions, turnovers. It's one of the biggest equations. It's the elixir when it comes to win or losses in the NFL. So, you know, you might have Jameis Winston come in and throw the ball 350 yards and three touchdowns, but he's also going to throw two interceptions, and you're probably going to lose the game. So you can't just look at stats. You got to look at win-loss records. You know, right now, I saw a stat. I was watching, I don't know, Get Up, or I was watching some ESPN program today. Jameis Winston's stats far exceed Tom Brady's. Passing yards, touchdowns, of course, eliminate the interception statistic. But, but was he winning ball games with Tampa? No. Because he was turning the ball over at such an exceptional rate. And that's what you cannot do as a quarterback. And that's what Taysom Hill doesn't do. Taysom Hill doesn't turn the ball over. He's not passing for over 300 yards. He's not tossing four touchdowns. But he's running the ball 60 yards. He's passing the ball 200. He's tossing one touchdown, maybe two, and he's running one in for you. And he's not turning the ball over. Therefore, he's winning football games for you. So Jameis Winston is a phenomenal fantasy football quarterback. Taysom Hill is a, I won't use the word phenomenal. Taysom Hill is a good and solid NFL quarterback. Joel, I see you. We'll get to your call. Also, again, I want to share some futures bets with you and also some of the plays for tomorrow. We've got two Saturday games, the Bills going up against Denver and Carolina and Green Bay. We'll dive into that next. We'll take your calls with you until 8 o'clock. This is Week in Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks with you. Brought to you by BetMGM. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is not a sprained ankle. You know, ribs and a punctured lung. And the defensive players are going to go at it. They're going to attack it. That is just the way it is. I'm not here to make a value judgment. That's what football is. That's what football has been since its inception. And that's one thing they haven't legislated out of it. So I don't know about you, but I will be watching that game to some degree the way I watch horror movies. Every now and again, kind of looking away because you're afraid of what might jump out from behind a closed door.
That is Greeny talking about the game. Again, Saints at home getting three. What's the over-under in that game? 52.5. Interesting. I agree with Greeny. And I was watching Get Up today, and Bart Scott was on Get Up. And, you know, Bart, you know, he shoots from the hip. Full transparency. He said, listen, if I'm playing in this game, I'm coming after Drew Brees. Like, it's not personal. It's professional. It's professional football. This is what we do. There's blood in the water. They're going after him. We've only, unfortunately, and I'm sorry, Joel and Irvin, I really was hoping I can get to your calls. Unfortunately, we only have about a minute 30 left in the show because we've got to take you to a college game. But really quick, there's two games tomorrow. The Bills and Denver and Carolina and Green Bay. I'm going to play a two-team teaser here. I'm going to tease the Bills down. They're minus six right now. I'm going to tease them down to a pick 'em, and I'm going to tease Carolina up to plus 14.5. So Bills, two-team tease here. Bills pick 'em. Carolina plus 14.5 against Green Bay. I like Josh Allen over rushing yards at 28.5. I like Zach Moss to score a touchdown. Anytime touchdown. I also like Melvin Gordon over 57.5 rushing yards. And I like Tim Patrick over 3.5 receptions. For the Carolina Green Bay game, I love Robert Tonyan, their tight end. I think he has a big game. I like over 3.5 receptions, over 39.5 receiving yards. And I absolutely think he scores a touchdown. I also like MVS, his longest reception to be 20.5, as well as over in receiving yards at 39.5. Carolina gives up some pretty big explosive plays. Also, DJ Moore under receiving yards at 58.5. He's coming off the COVID list, and he's got a bad matchup against Alexander. Sorry I couldn't get to the futures bets. We will dive into these. By the way, a reminder, Sunday, New York game day, me and Mike Tannenbaum. It all kicks off at 7 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Brian, our producer, appreciate you as always. Again, this is Week in Wager brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.